Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome, everyone, to Practical Mindset. I'm your host, Stacey Crew, and I'm so happy to have you here today. So it happens to be Valentine's Day, so I'm wishing everyone a day of self-love and self-care, and we'll talk more about that right after our first guest. So today we have Heather Powers joining us. She has an interesting background, and she happens to be a friend of mine. So Heather holds a Bachelor in Fine Arts in Fiber from SCAD, which is the Savannah College for Art and Design in Savannah, Georgia. And this degree positioned her for a 15-year career as a textile designer collaborating on worldwide projects. In 2010, Heather launched her design and professional organizing business. And as an organizer, she situates herself amongst artists, craftspeople, and collectors, and this gives her kind of an intimate understanding of how individuals retain, use, and live with material culture. And we'll learn more about that as we progress into the show. And then in 2021, Heather graduated with a Master's of Fine Arts in Critical Craft. She continues to research textile history, weave, and she uses natural dye techniques, in which her work investigates the memory, place, and identity themes through discarded vintage materials. So welcome, Heather. We're so happy to have you here today.
Hi, Stacey. Thank you for inviting me to be here, and happy Valentine's Day to all of our listeners out there.
Yeah. Well, let's jump right in to today's topic, which is planning your legacy and how it's never too soon to start doing this. So let's just start off, Heather, by give us a sense of what legacy planning is and why it's important.
Sure. This is a topic that has come up a lot for me in both my personal life and my professional life. I am part of Gen X generation, and my parents are part of the baby boomer and older generations, and so I have been involved in the process of legacy planning for members of my family and my clients who tend to also be amongst those same two older generations, and I think what legacy planning means for me, as I have come to understand it, is taking an account of what we have done in our life, what we've been passionate about, the people we've loved, the experiences that we've had, our contributions to our families, to culture, and to society. And so I think I take the term legacy planning in a really broad way, whereas some people might consider it to be more about the stuff that is left behind.
Okay.
My definition of legacy planning takes into consideration people's stories and people's connection with the material culture around them.
So legacy planning, I mean, simplified, we could just say it has to do with people's stories, connections. And what was the last thing you said?
People's stories and how their stories connect them to the material culture around them. So objects and contributions that we make, et cetera, creations that we have, you know, if we've written or made objects, if we're artists, whatever, you know, our contributions are through material culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Part of the story.
Yeah, and people's stories are important. I mean, I do some publishing, so mm-hmm. you know, stories are very important. So tell me a little bit of why. So, you know, you mentioned your parents being of the baby boomer generation, and I think that, you know, that was certainly a generation that collected things. You know, China and furniture and lots of things, and of course stories to go along with that. But give us a sense of why it's important to perhaps plan not only what to do with these things, but how, you know, the stories behind them.
Sure. So I think there's several reasons I think it's important. The why behind our beginning to do some of our legacy planning. I think that if we start with ourselves and consider legacy planning as an opportunity for us to do some reflection about what has been important in our life,
mm-hmm.
that's our own why. So for me, it starts with that place within our own heart. What has our life been about? What do we want others to understand about our life? And when we come from this really kind of heart-centered place of telling our story, instead of thinking about legacy planning as something that is only something someone with, you know, who's famous should be doing, or someone who has a very large estate should be doing, legacy planning is something that is each of our birthright, and it is our opportunity to tell a story about our life from our own voice to the people that matter to us. And this is something that's been taken away from many generations and from many genders and from many kinds of people around the world. And I think now we're living in a time when technology and our means of communication, the resources that we have available to us to do this kind of legacy planning, are much more at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
if we start from our why, and we also find a way to connect and maybe release some of the burden from the people who we're leaving behind, that can feel liberating, I think, and that can be for both you and for the people that you're leaving behind, because often there's a bit of a burden perceived, maybe not in actuality, but when we leave things behind, it can feel like a burden to others. So taking it into our yeah. own hands and doing some of this on our own, finding the right people, can be liberating and freeing.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, when we know, it's kind of like when you get to know somebody. I mean, in this case, we're largely, I think, when legacy, we're talking about things and stories attached to things. But, you know, when you get to know somebody and you develop a relationship, for example, you know, people become more important to you, right? You know, you understand them and how they are. And my thought that I had as you're talking about the legacy planning and the stories behind things is that, so you have a situation where, you know, parents pass away and then the kids come in and, you know, they have to figure out what to do with all the things. And I would imagine if there's a story behind the things, it may actually make decisions harder because you might want to keep everything, right? But at the same time, I think it can really help to preserve family connection. What are your thoughts about that?
Absolutely. I think when people, you know, the baby boomer generation, for example, is a generation that if there was someone who was in the military in your family, they may have done a lot of travel, and this is true for other generations as well. there may be objects that were collected from different parts of the world or different meaningful, life experiences that perhaps you grew up hearing about maybe over and over again, and you sort of come to take these objects for granted because it's not necessarily your experience. But I think that sometimes we can take those objects and begin to really understand the way that they were, influential in someone else's life. And having not necessarily all of those objects around us once someone is gone, but at least some of those cherished things around us can help us to keep their memory alive, keep the things that were passionate to them alive, and be, a touchstone in a way to honor them.
I love that, honoring. I know I have some objects and things that belong to my grandparents, and it really helps me to, keep their memory alive in a way that makes me proud of our family history, in a sense, because, like you were saying, it's like if you learn how the objects were acquired and what they meant to that individual and the story around it, it creates a very nice sort of, a very special feeling, I think, attached to an object, and not in a way that creates a burden of any sort. It's more like really keeping a memory alive.
I think the flip side to that coin, though, that needs to also be acknowledged is that because these are not the experiences of the future generation, there are a lot of children and grandchildren that don't necessarily feel that connection to those material objects, to the stuff that other people have collected. And I think it can be really overwhelming and hard for the person doing the legacy planning to feel a sense of rejection in a way when their family is not interested in things. And I find that's often the case. And I would say that if that is the case, it's important to look at those things, give your family members, your friends, the people who might cherish those things, every opportunity. And if they say no again and again, it's okay, because they are going to find that something that they need to hold on to your memory. And the other things should find homes with people who will really cherish them. And that does not necessarily mean it will be a family member. It might be in a sale. It might be, a thrift or donation center. So, there are people who don't who won't understand your story, but they might love the things that you loved. And so being able to let some of those things go and know that it shouldn't all just go to the family, that's okay too.
Yeah, and I think what you just mentioned too about asking family members, and of course this is, part of that planning is determining, who wants something and who wants to take care of it, really, for the next period of time. So what advice would you give to, say, a baby boomer or someone, who's thinking about where some items might go in the future, and then they ask a family member, and the family member is like, no, and the family member might even know the story behind it, but they're still not interested in taking that object and caring for it in the future. What kind of advice would you give to people so that they don't feel bad about making the ask and hearing a no? Nobody likes rejection, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it is hard. But I think if you can start having the conversations earlier and in casual settings, that can kind of lessen the emotional blow, if you want to you know, if you're really emotional about some things, I think that you need to take your own inventory of what things are monetarily and emotionally valuable to you in your estate. And I think documenting in some way can help future generations. And if you're not ready to let something go before you are gone, leaving that kind of documentation as a part of your estate planning, those legacy plans might include an inventory with some information about the provenance or an appraisal value of objects, because I think that that's one of the tragic burdens of someone's estate when people don't understand the value of something. And
yes,
things might just go into a dumpster or get donated, or someone feels the opposite and they feel that every single thing is monetarily valuable, and so there's a disconnect. And so even if you can't make decisions about where everything will go, if you can begin to document some of that, and if you know of local resources, or if you collect objects, or if you know that there's an appreciation society for something that you collect, or a, you know, a group of people out there in your culture, or in your community, or within that passion of yours. It might not be somebody local. Do a little research and put that information down. That's going to make it so much easier for future generations to know what to do.
Okay, so what I'm hearing here is that it's really never too soon to start thinking about these things, you know, if you have some treasured things. And maybe the conversations would be easier if you start kind of, you know, I know we've had conversations in my family with my daughters about, you know, who's going to get this piece of jewelry or who's going to get that piece of jewelry. And it's kind of like, you know, yeah, I'm going to get that, right? And, you know, we can still joke about it because, you know, I hopefully have many, many years left here on Earth. But starting those conversations and then documenting, and I'm wondering if you can give us, because I know that you go in and you actually help people in a more formal way, catalog items. But what if somebody is listening today and they're like, oh, wow, you know, I never really thought about this process. What are some things that people could do today to begin to start that process?
There are a lot of great apps out there that are provided by insurance companies, and some of them are independent of insurance companies, that will help you inventory the contents of your home. And this, you know, there are more reasons to do this than just your legacy and estate planning. Insurance companies offer this because it's something that if something were to happen, it'd be important to have this documentation as well. So just, you know, placing a pin in there that this is going to serve you in multiple ways if you invest the time into documenting the things in your home that, or maybe it's your home in your office, your home in your studio, that are of monetary value or really of, you know, maybe more of an emotional value and a family, in a sense of this came from this person in this place, and I want to give you at least a little bit of a sense of the history of this object. So creating an inventory of those kinds of things, and then as you have conversations with people, making a note of who that person that might be interested is in the document, and then getting this documentation to your lawyers, if you are working with a lawyer, or making a note of it in your will somewhere in your estate planning, putting it into the legal paperwork so that that documentation is referenced and is updated at the same frequency that you would update your will, which is, I believe, every 2 to 5 years, depending on what your age and health circumstances are. So,
well, that's good.
You know,
that's a good tip.
It can be photographs in a spreadsheet, or it can be an app. It doesn't have to be complicated. You can have your family members help you. You can hire a professional organizer. There are lots of professionals through the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals across mm-hmm. the country who are experts at this kind of thing.
So we're just about reaching our break here. So I'm thinking, just for somebody to kind of feel a little relief too, we all have smartphones nowadays, so they could, you know, could just walk around and take a video, you know, and just easily begin to document. And maybe that's the video that is then used by a professional organizer or a lawyer or somebody to make it a little bit more formal. All right, so we're here today with Heather Powers talking about legacy planning, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on Practical Mindset Radio.
Hey, you can eat healthier and maybe even lose weight by rearranging your kitchen. It's true. The health of your home is important to keeping you healthy. Stacy Crew's book, Mind Body Kitchen, shows you how. Imagine having a step-by-step guide to help you identify obstacles, organize your kitchen, and gain, not pounds, but a healthy and happy lifestyle. It works. Visit StacyCrew.com to get your copy of Mind Body Kitchen, or get it at Amazon.com. Just do it now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Psst! Stacy Crew has a fantastic digital course that transforms you and your kitchen. So just think of this, a clutter-free kitchen that also helps you unlock your ability to make quick life decisions. Oh! Or how about tips like how to buy organic but still save money? It's time to streamline your kitchen with healthy options, meal plans, recipes, and so many great methods, all to get you out of the kitchen and enjoying a better, healthy life. For more info, visit StacyCrew.com now.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
We know you're sweet, but wouldn't it be great to cut down on your sugar? Well, now there's an easy step-by-step guide by Stacy Crew, your nutritional coach, to do just that. There's shopping lists, meal plans, lots of tips on organizing your kitchen, and in just 3 days, you can reduce your cravings while reducing inflammation in your body, making you feel better and have more energy. There's even a support community to help. But you know what's best of all? It's free. Just visit StacyCrew.com. That's StacyCrew.com.
Uplifting talk. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, it's Stacy Crew. You're here listening to Practical Mindset Radio today, and we have Heather Powers with us. She is an organizer, and she has a very interesting background. So if you didn't listen to the beginning intro, please go back and listen when you can. But she is a design professional and an organizing professional, and today we're talking about planning your legacy and how it's never too soon to start doing so. So we're going to jump back in, and Heather, tell us why legacy planning will be easier for future generations. And I guess the second part to this question is, you know, why has this been so challenging for baby boomers? Let's talk a bit about that.
Well, we touched a little bit, I think, on... I'll back up. Let's flip this question around and start with why this might be more challenging for baby boomers.
Sounds good.
And why it might be easier for future generations. Because I think that, you know, I don't want to go into global history here, but the baby boomer generation lived through a time of relative financial abundance in a way that previous generations didn't necessarily have. Post-World War II, you know, people who lived through the Great Depression, these were the parents. And those experiences from the baby boomers' parents' generation had a direct impact on the kind of, I'm just going to use the term lack mindset and financial lack that, you know, previous generations experienced. There was mm-hmm. not a lot of food and not a lot of, you know, things were rationed during certain periods of time in certain places right. in the world. And I'm not saying that's not currently happening today, but globally that happened on a very large scale, and there was like a contraction of the kinds of things that we could have in our life around us. And then mm-hmm. this baby boomer generation was directly following that, able to, because of technology and the Industrial Revolution, they had access, and we have so much more means to have material culture around us and to purchase things mm-hmm. from around the world. We have the technology of making things and transporting those things and making them inexpensive. And so that all kind of culminates during this baby boomer generation where people are able to travel and acquire things, and it is not financially restricting to do so, and this generation cherishes those things. And so
yeah.
the generations that follow have, you know, we had this generation of contraction, and then we had this generation of expansion. And so some people in younger generations are returning for a couple of reasons mm-hmm. to more of a contraction kind of lifestyle. And it's not necessarily always because they don't have the means. It's because they have a different mindset about how they want to live with what is available to them. And they don't necessarily view abundance or surrounding themselves as a way of having an abundant life. They
right.
choose a more simple lifestyle in many cases. And so mm-hmm. I think there is a perception that maybe future generations will have less stuff, and that might make it easier to do legacy planning. But,
yeah.
you know, a lot of those people are still young. And I think that I am not placing judgment on anyone's choices. Some people, I think, will continue to live a more minimalist lifestyle, and some people will, as their families grow or as their parents die and they decide that they want to, you know, cherish and live with some of the things that have been passed on to them,
mm-hmm.
there may be a sort of equilibrium that happens. So let's not treat each generation as, you know, monolithically, but I do think it's sociologically interesting to think about what the larger global influences are upon each generation and why we've seen this, like, contraction, expansion, contraction.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it'll be easier. Maybe for some people and maybe not for others.
Well, I think, too, the contraction, the idea of, you know, being more minimalistic and not having as much stuff, I think, you know, there's been so much out there on social media that shows, you know, people being more fluid in their life. You know, they can travel. They can be nomadic. You know, you've got the whole van culture and everything. It's I don't necessarily see, and I have no judgments about this one way or the other. I just find it kind of fascinating. But I think
Definitely.
You see people go from, you know, choosing to have very little. Like, seeing them jump to having then a big house and lots of stuff, I don't know. I kind of feel like once you experience less, it's freedom in a lot of ways. You know, you're not having to manage and keep the things and keep a house necessarily, like a traditional house,
in order to hold the items in that house. So, yeah, it's very, very interesting, and I see what you're saying about how, you know, future generations will just make different decisions, you know, and not necessarily have or choose to have, you know, the legacy. Their legacy will be different.
It's important to realize that even though there is a trend towards minimalism, there's also a huge trend towards sustainability, which means that taking objects and things that you might not like aesthetically or you might not understand and just throwing them in the dump is also not practical on a sustainability level for multiple generations. And so, you know, if you're listening to this and you live a minimalist lifestyle and you know you're going to be inheriting or you have children who are going to be inheriting, just making sure that those they're resources, right? These are resources that need to get into the hands of people who can use them, and that might not be your children directly. But I do urge the children of baby boomers or other generations out there to also not just haul the dumpster up to the house and throw things away, because there are a lot of people who need things and who can use things. So let's be mindful of our resources and get them into the hands of people who need them.
Okay. On that note, let's take a break, and we'll be right back on Practical Mindset Radio.
Stacy Crew has a fantastic digital course that transforms you and your kitchen. So just think of this, a clutter-free kitchen that also helps you unlock your ability to make quick life decisions. Oh, or how about tips like how to buy organic but still save money? It's time to streamline your kitchen with healthy options, meal plans, recipes, and so many great methods, all to get you out of the kitchen and enjoying a better, healthy life. For more info, visit StacyCrew.com now. We know you're sweet, but wouldn't it be great to cut down on your sugar? Well, now there's an easy step-by-step guide by Stacy Crew, your nutritional coach, to do just that. There's shopping lists, meal plans, lots of tips on organizing your kitchen, and in just 3 days, you can reduce your cravings while reducing inflammation in your body, making you feel better and have more energy. There's even a support community to help. But you know what's best of all? It's free. Just visit StacyCrew.com. That's StacyCrew.com.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
Hey, you can eat healthier and maybe even lose weight by rearranging your kitchen. It's true. The health of your home is important to keeping you healthy. Stacy Crew's book, Mind Body Kitchen, shows you how. Imagine having a step-by-step guide to help you identify obstacles, organize your kitchen, and gain, not pounds, but a healthy and happy lifestyle. It works. Visit StacyCrew.com to get your copy of Mind Body Kitchen, or get it at Amazon.com. Just do it now.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, this is Stacy Crew, and we're back on Practical Mindset Radio, and we're here today with Heather Powers. We are talking about legacy planning and how it's never too soon to start. So we left off talking a little bit about why it'll be easier for future generations to do their legacy planning. And we want to talk about, perceived value, Heather, and, you know, the value of things. How does the value or the lack of knowledge about the value stop someone from downsizing? And how does it keep them stuck in their tracks? And I know we left off the last segment with you saying, you know, you hope that, you know, the children of baby boomers, for example, don't just bring a dumpster and, you know, set it up next to the house and start throwing things away. I know there's a lot there in that question, but let's focus a little bit on the perceived value thing.
Yeah, I think the question about perceived value and, like, the actual monetary value of what things are, is a conversation that comes up again and again when I'm working with anyone who's doing legacy planning, because I think in talking about, let's start with actual value, market value of objects. So we left off the last segment talking about the fact that these, you know, things that we have around us are resources, right? They're made of things from the earth, and they should be able to be used again and again, hopefully, you know, reupholstered or rebuilt or mended or whatever. But the actual monetary value of something is something that fluctuates. And so I think, you know, a great resource that everybody can just go to the library and look at is the Covell Antique Guide, and that book is, you know, kind of any collector's, like, starting place for understanding how the market value fluctuates for objects that people collect around the world. And a big part of that has to do with how much of something there is, and so does it flood the market, and then what are the trends that are happening, and there's a lot that goes into that. So we don't need to get into that. But I think that it can be helpful to look to the resources that are available to us to understand the actual value of something rather than just perceive or base our understanding of knowledge on what we want the value to be. Because what we thought we could do with something, we bought something and we thought that if we had this collection, it was going to stay valuable or that it was going to go up in value, and that is so often the case, not the case. And so people get stuck into holding on to things because they invest money into something, and it is no longer of the same monetary value as what they thought it should be. It becomes really hard. It's like just, you know, taking your wallet out and just handing out money at that point. So starting with really good resources, books, you know, doing some searches online, places like eBay, and then going to reputable local estate sale companies and appraisers. If you have something, often those professionals do not charge you to come and look, and they may say on their website, send us some photos first. So start with the experts in your area or in the area of expertise of the thing that you are interested in learning more about. And those are the kinds of resources that, you know, that again, will fluctuate every year or 5 years, 10 years, based on what is happening. And so just know that there's going to be ups and downs. That doesn't mean you should hold on to something. If you're not ready to let it go, make those resources available to your next of kin who you're leaving things to so that they know how to pick up the pieces where you've left off. And then if you are able to let something go and you found some great resources that you trust, work with them. You know, start getting rid of some of the things a bit at a time. It doesn't mean you have to let go of an entire collection or of something or your entire household full of stuff. But begin to deaccession the things that are maybe less emotionally meaningful to you, or maybe the things that are more financially valuable to you, you can let those things go and turn that into cash that could be a good resource for you or your family.
Yeah, I often say, and I know we're specifically talking about legacy planning, but when it comes to just kind of decluttering in general, you know, people sometimes are resistant to getting rid of things, and I have often, you know, suggested kind of reframing, like, you know, say you have a goal to do something, you have something on your bucket list, you know, perhaps instead of holding on to something that is taking up space and not really, of perceived value to you anymore. Maybe sell it and then put that money towards that adventure that you want to take in your future. So you've given us some great tips and great information today, Heather, and I want to give you a couple minutes just to let listeners know how you can help them and where to find you.
Thank you. This has been a great conversation, and I really hope that listeners will take some time to consider their legacy planning. And if you are in need of some assistance, you can find me via my website, which is creativelyorganizedspaces.com. And you can find me on social media via the same handle, or on Instagram and Facebook, at least. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I work with people in person in South Carolina, in select other locations around the United States, and I'm also available for virtual consults if you're able mm-hmm. to do some of the hands-on work yourself. I'm there to support, hold accountable, and become a resource for people in doing this work on their own through virtual capacities as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us today, Heather. And I will put all of that information in the show notes. So, and also the antiques guide that Heather mentioned, will list that as well. And yeah, so never too soon to start planning and just kind of assessing what you have in your home and around you. And, as was mentioned, you know, for insurance purposes, that's always valuable to just have pictures and video, a great place to start. So thank you so much, Heather, for joining us today, and we'll be right back on Practical Mindset Radio.
We know you're sweet, but wouldn't it be great to cut down on your sugar? Well, now there's an easy step-by-step guide by Stacy Crew, your nutritional coach, to do just that. There's shopping lists, meal plans, lots of tips on organizing your kitchen, and in just 3 days, you can reduce your cravings while reducing inflammation in your body, making you feel better and have more energy. There's even a support community to help. But you know what's best of all? It's free. Just visit StacyCrew.com. That's StacyCrew.com. Hey, you can eat healthier and maybe even lose weight by rearranging your kitchen. It's true. The health of your home is important to keeping you healthy. Stacy Crew's book, Mind Body Kitchen, shows you how. Imagine having a step-by-step guide to help you identify obstacles, organize your kitchen, and gain, not pounds, but a healthy and happy lifestyle. It works. Visit StacyCrew.com. To get your copy of Mind Body Kitchen, or get it at Amazon.com. Just do it now. Psst! Stacy Crew has a fantastic digital course that transforms you and your kitchen. So just think of this, a clutter-free kitchen that also helps you unlock your ability to make quick life decisions. Oh, or how about tips like how to buy organic but still save money? It's time to streamline your kitchen with healthy options, meal plans, recipes, and so many great methods, all to get you out of the kitchen and enjoying a better, healthy life. For more info, visit StacyCrew.com now.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Eclectic talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
We're back here on Practical Mindset Radio. This is Stacy Crew, your host, and we just wrapped up a segment on legacy planning, so hope you enjoyed that. And since it's Valentine's Day, and This won't air today necessarily, but it's never a bad time to talk about self-love. And since it is Valentine's Day, it's a great time to do that. So I was scrolling through social media this morning, as we do, and try and limit that. That's part of my self-care practices. But I do allow myself some space to just see what's going on out there. And I received my certification in health coaching from IIN, that's the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and they're out of New York City. And today they have a couple of posts, and I thought it might be fun to just kind of run through these because they ask some good questions. So this first question is, what does it mean to love yourself? And I don't know about for you, but this took me a long time to really kind of understand and put into practice. A lot of it for me is the second point on this list, which is trusting yourself. You know, that doesn't always come naturally. A lot has to do, I think, with how we grew up and who our parents are and who we're surrounded by. And, we're not always encouraged to necessarily trust our gut and trust our instincts. It's something I've tried to teach my kids and, but speaking about myself, trusting yourself is one. Let me read to you what's on the rest of the list. So we've got taking care of your physical, mental, and emotional health. Setting healthy boundaries, such as learning to say no, acknowledging and validating your feelings, asking for help, and avoiding comparisons. So I love this list because it really points to very basic things that we can do, but some of them are really hard. You know, it's like I said, it's not always easy to practice trusting yourself, for example. And I think, like anything, it takes first acknowledging what it is you want or what you need to change, or, you know, if the acknowledgement comes first, and then the steps to put those things into practice come next. So the third here, and my dog is in the background. Hopefully you can't hear my little one. He's chewing on a bone and then coughing a little bit. So setting healthy boundaries and learning to say no. One of the things with saying no, you know, so many people right away, and this is a habit, you know, saying yes too quickly is a habit. And I had that habit, I think, for a long time. And I think when we say yes, we're automatically saying no to something else, right? Because time is finite. We can't fit everything into a day. We have to be really kind of intentional and specific about what we want during that day to accomplish everything on our agenda. And if someone approaches us and says, hey, you know, can you do this for me? And if we say yes, we are automatically saying no to something else because of time being finite. So that practice of learning to say no, that's definitely a practice of self-care, I would say, and because it's setting a boundary in a sense. So some people have difficulty saying no right away. Like going from yes to no is tough, right? I mean, that's pretty extreme change. So I would say, and this is what I started doing at one point in my life, instead of just saying no but not saying yes, I would say, you know, let me think about that. I think I really need to kind of consider what you're asking. Now, if it's, you know, can you pass me the sugar? Of course, I'm not going to say that I'm going to pass the sugar, but, you know, something bigger that requires time, we would certainly want to start incorporating that. Let me think about it. So acknowledging and validating your feelings, you know, again, this points to really putting ourselves first, and not in a selfish way, but, you know, so many of us, myself included, are, you know, we take care of other people, and so it's really important to take that time and just really understand that we deserve, you know, time for ourselves, time for practicing self-care, Now, if you're an extrovert, you know, there's the whole thing, the extrovert and the introvert. I'm an introvert by nature, so for me to, you know, be home by myself, not a problem. I love it. That's how I re-energize. So if I go out and I'm amongst people, I usually want to come home and decompress for a while. Whereas extroverts, they get, their energy gets, you know, they get more energy by being around other people. So the second post that IIN, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, made today that has to do with self-love is the five self-love languages. And the self-love languages, these, if you've never taken the test, you can find it online, and it's for free. You can find the self-love quiz. I think if you search the five languages of self-love quiz, you're probably going to stumble upon it, but it'll have a series of questions that asks you questions, and based on how you answer them, you'll fall into different categories. And the percentages, you know, there are five of them, so you could be 25% on one, 35 on another, and then, you know, have it all sort of add up to 100%. But the five languages are, number one, acts of service. So that's going to be, that's actually mine. So if somebody offers to take out the garbage or, like, you know, take my car for an oil change, oh my gosh, I'm like, you know, I will love that person forever. It's like, you know, so it's the acts of services, you know, folding the laundry, cooking a meal, those kinds of things. The second one is receiving gifts. So I know a lot of people who love that. I mean, they get a gift from somebody and they just think that person hung the moon, you know, and that's very nice too. Third is quality time. So, you know, being together and just even sitting together with another person, that's a self-love language. Fourth is words of affirmation. So hearing nice things from other people. That's a lovely one as well. And then five is physical touch. So holding hands, you know, spending cuddle time together, all of that. But these are important when it comes to, you know, the connections we have and the relationships we have. And it's really a great way to connect, you know, with others. So oftentimes I think if like I'm an acts of service, that's my love language. So I have to remember though, the people around me, I have to remember what their love language is, because if I'm trying to do an act of service, but their love language is quality time, they're not going to appreciate it as much. So this is where kind of looking outward in our loving relationships, you know, how can we nurture our relationships? So getting to understand somebody else's love language is important. And it doesn't just mean a love relationship, like a romantic relationship. My daughter and I drove cross country, and we had, a lot of time together. So we actually did this quiz and we both determined that we are acts of service, but, it was kind of fun. You know, it's fun to figure out and learn about other people. So, that's all for today. It is Valentine's Day, as I mentioned, so happy Valentine's Day. Take care of yourself, nurture yourself, and those you love around you. Thanks so much for joining today on Practical Mindset Radio, and I'll see you next time.
Hey, you can eat healthier and maybe even lose weight by rearranging your kitchen. It's true. The health of your home is important to keeping you healthy. Stacy Crew's book, Mind Body Kitchen, shows you how. Imagine having a step-by-step guide to help you identify obstacles, organize your kitchen, and gain, not pounds, but a healthy and happy lifestyle. It works. Visit stacycrew.com to get your copy of Mind Body Kitchen, or get it at amazon.com. Just do it now. Stacy Crew has a fantastic digital course that transforms you and your kitchen. So just think of this, a clutter-free kitchen that also helps you unlock your ability to make quick life decisions. Oh, or how about tips like how to buy organic but still save money? It's time to streamline your kitchen with healthy options meal plans, recipes, and so many great methods, all to get you out of the kitchen and enjoying a better, healthy life. For more info, visit StacyCrew.com now. We know you're sweet, but wouldn't it be great to cut down on your sugar? Well, now there's an easy step-by-step guide by Stacy Crew, your nutritional coach, to do just that. There's shopping lists, meal plans, lots of tips on organizing your kitchen, and in just 3 days, you can reduce your cravings while reducing inflammation in your body, making you feel better and have more energy. There's even a support community to help. But you know what's best of all? It's free. Just visit StacyCrew.com. That's StacyCrew.com.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.